Welcome to People in Digital, the podcast. My name is Amélie Behrens. I am a CX design and leadership coach. I'm leading the CX revolution towards the human-centered design era. No more, no less, my friend. And with me, you're going to take action, build confidence, and deliver in the most radical human way. Here is what I propose to you. Every week, you'll discover a new episode focusing on a mix of big picture thinking and step-by-step actions to follow through discussions with experts who are passionate about people or the digital industry or both. Also, I craft special episodes to develop your mindset and your self-awareness because that's where lies your superpower. It's packed with everything you need to know to build a better, more impactful, and more sustainable business in your industry and make the best decisions for your career or your business. So, what are you waiting for? Start taking action and create a positive impact today by signing up for the podcast. It's like a little commitment for yourself because the only way forward is to focus on people and yourself, of course. I'm also very happy to invite you to the Leader Attitude, the only newsletter that helps you to take your power back by focusing on mindset, people, and execution. It's an exclusive weekly email that you can read at your own pace to help you remember the concepts. I will also notify you when I launch new stuff, products, group coaching, trainings, and other fantastic surprises, of course. Sign up today on amelieberens.com. All the links are also in the description. And join a growing community of leaders like you who have decided to take a turn in their career or their business. Oh, and one last thing. Please remember, it's always a good moment to start. On to the podcast now. Hello, hello, my friend. This week's episode is for you. For you if you're new to customer experience or if you're not sure where to get started or, you know, to thrive in your CX career. This week, I'm very happy to present you the CX education expert, Agnes Spona. She answered all your questions about kickstarting your learning journey in an industry that's predicted to grow up to 20% in the next 5 years. Agnes is super passionate about her job as a customer experience education expert. Currently, she's the managing director at Made4. She facilitates learning experiences to boost people's career growth in the ever-changing digital world. So who better to get tips from about entering and thriving in the CX field? I don't know. So whether you work in customer experience, service design, UX, or digital product management, you will find keys in this podcast to learn and grow in this booming industry. So let's not wait any longer. Let's go. Thank you, Agnes, for being on the show today. I'm very excited because we are going to go through a topic that is, I think, very important. I care a lot about the topic and I know you are a great expert to enlighten our day and our ideas about it. It's learning. CX, learning about customer experience, but it's deeper than just a new skill or a new trends. And that's why I have several questions for you. But before we start digging into your expertise and also the challenges of learning CX today, I would like to ask you just, you know, Agnes, who are you and what you like to do?
Hi, Emily. Thank you so much for having me. I'm very excited to be here today and especially to talk about this topic. Who am I? So my name is Agnes Spona. I am Managing Director at Customer Experience Learning Organization Made4. We are part of the bigger group called the Customer Bureau, and we kind of address the customer experience from various aspects, also from consultancy, from data, from engineering even, and also from learning at Made4. I've been, my professional background is mainly in digital product management, and I've been doing that for quite some years in a large telco and building materials organizations, where I was responsible for their communication channels and platforms and websites, etc., as a kind of product manager. And before that, I've been working in customer experience now in public relations and events and journalism. So that kind of started my love for storytelling, and then I fell in love with digital. And combining that, I ended up in customer experience and learning. And I've always been very passionate about academia. So I've been working in a couple of universities here in the Netherlands. So I'm Dutch, Netherlands based. So that's how kind of the whole digital world, customer experience and learning came together and synthesized into business such as Made4. I'm originally Latvian. I live in Netherlands for 13 years. I'm married. I have a 4-year-old daughter. And what do I like to do? So I love working. And I know that this may be unpopular view, but I really do. It gives me pleasure and then flow and all those good emotions to find the balance in it and not do only work. That's always a challenge. But, you know, I think now more than ever, we all are concerned about it and finding the right answers to those questions. I also love singing. I love choir music. So I sing in a choir spending time with my family and doing fun things. So probably that will be super short intro.
Yeah, I guess you cannot explain the whole thing. But I like the way already that you showed in your career how you grew into CX. And that's also very nice because you can grow in CX from any background, actually. And that's very nice. First, I like that, you're following where you're following your intuition, I guess, because you're going from one to another and in a very interesting way. I can't wait to ask you the first question then, which is why learning CX today is, you know, why is it so important?
Yeah. So I think, like with learning anything, you first need to look at the industry, right? So what happens in the industry and what the developments are. So if we look at the customer experience as a field, to just some general statistics that kind of all customer experience professionals makes feel good about themselves, that they're like, okay, yes, you know, we are in the right field, peace of mind. So incredible investments currently, even in this year, is planned like around more than $600 billion of US dollars are planned to be invested in customer experience technology. There's like a prediction of like 15 to 20% growth in customer experience in the upcoming 5 to 7 years. So it's just booming, right? So, and that is of course linked to the fact that customer has that choice, and you're not anymore bounded by geography. You're not anymore bounded by specific brands. You're not, you know, you have a choice. You have a power through all the, of course, technological and, other developments that we currently are experiencing. So customer becomes big part of when you think as a business for your stakeholders. So the customer becomes one of the main ones. And because of this movement, if we look at the top jobs that are required in the industry, those are also mainly related to the customer experience field. And considering that, of course, the learning for customer experience is required. So for people to actually upskill or reskill into customer experience field to be able to deliver on that high demand. So as simple as that, so there is a huge demand for professionals who can do the thing. So therefore, we need to enable people to actually address that demand and reskill into or upskill or just go into that field directly from, let's say, when they are young, young people and choosing their next profession.
Okay. And what do you think this is booming right now? What I mean, there is a reason you think that there is now a specific, now it's the specific time where CX is booming. Did you observe some interesting thing about that?
So you mean why does that happen?
Yeah, why is it happening? Because we need, you know, it's something that there is not a lot of, I mean, we need to learn for it. There is a lot of people say, oh, okay, something's happening. CX, where can I learn from it? I get that question a lot. Where can I learn from it? What are the good trainings, et cetera? So the interest is there. Industries are investing. But why? Why suddenly CX is a thing that interests everybody? I would like to have your opinion.
Yeah. So first, I think because it's such a new industry and because everyone has their view on what CX is in general, right? So let's maybe, you and me, at least for the sake of conversation, let's align on what we understand as CX, right?
Yeah, good point.
So for me, it's really the combination of all interactions that a customer has with a brand. Would you agree on that?
I totally agree on that.
Yeah. So, and therefore, it is a very broad industry. So if you consider that the first interaction that a customer has with a brand is maybe hearing about the brand from your friend, then maybe you see a pop-up on Instagram, because, of course, they're listening. No, I'm joking.
The kind of. Yeah. But not the way we think.
Not the way we think. Exactly. And then you maybe are on their e-com sites, and then maybe you're experiencing all that process there. You do your payment and you get the product, and then you talk about your product and experience with your other friends, et cetera, et cetera. All these touch points is customer experience. In order to deliver all of that, there is no one skill set that can do it. It's the whole business that needs to actually deliver that. So, right? Mm-hmm. So working from various departments, disciplines, et cetera. Why is it booming? Is because I think more and more brands and organizations understand that there has to be something that oversees that overarching that journey, for lack of a better word. So all those interactions, there's some, let's say, control or visibility or understanding, awareness. We can call it many different ways, but that there is a kind of single point of control or oversight or of all those interactions. And that's customer experience. And that's the customer, someone who understands what that is and how it all is built out and what do we need as an organization to deliver that. Because indeed, because customer has that power to break that journey in any moment and has power to influence much bigger groups through social media, have a much bigger impact on sharing, for example, negative experience, that brands more and more want to have that visibility, understanding, and have a say on how that experience is managed. And I think, yeah, that is main reason why it's so important at the moment.
Yeah, thank you for coming back on the basics, because it's new, fun, kind of new. I mean, it's booming. It's not new. Hopefully we have some. I'm happy that we have some experts around. But as it's something trendy, there is a lot going on around that topic. And I would like to have your opinion on that. What are the things that non-experts believe about CX that are totally wrong about?
I will take it from kind of business perspective. So often what we can see that there is a customer experience manager in the business, and then this person is in an incredibly unfortunate situation because they have to go and talk to all these departments that have established ways of working, their own, you know, belief system and everything like that, and say, hey guys, you know, let's do research together. Let's understand our customer needs. Let's map the journeys or something. And there's like this kind of almost like a beggar's position, you know, you go around and you try to make something happen that people start to pay attention to customer and start to reshape maybe their propositions or reshape the tone of voice, for example, for marketing or anything else that they have already very established and strong beliefs in. And I think that is the biggest misconception of how to go about customer experience. So often in leadership, you can observe behavior, okay, we need to focus on our customer, and this is the way. So we have a dedicated person. So it means we're going into customer-centric kind of thinking or mindset, or we are taking care of it, you know, like we have the box ticked. So I believe that that is the biggest misconception about customer experience, that it can be solved like from that angle. There mm-hmm. can be done many different things. There can be done some experiments and some innovation projects and in various different ways. But I do believe that the organization needs to, as a whole, need to understand, okay, what is that experience that we together want to deliver? And then figure out what it means for each separate department, person, and even how does that reflect to our KPIs? You know, so it's not as simple as it maybe sounds in the beginning.
Yeah, it's not because you just have a new tool to help you to make a customer journey that you're going to nail the customer experience in the next session. Yeah, I totally agree exactly. with that. So what is it to learn exactly when you want to go, okay, I'm going CX now. What are the important things you need to learn to be successful? Yeah.
So I've been there. Thinking in general, like when you are for whatever reason thinking about upskilling or changing the field, or you feel you want to do something more or different. So what is that point where you kind of, what happens to you when you have that realization? So I do believe that people need help with having that realization. And that I feel like it's not only for customer experience starting point, but it's in general for learning starting point. So mm-hmm. I don't think it differs per, you know, field which you want to maybe pursue, but it's really like, if I think about from perspective, from learning organization perspective, I really want to make sure that I help people to discover that starting point. And to discover that starting point is asking questions or defining the questions. Because before you have those critical questions, you will not know which answers to find. If we take perspective that customer experience oversees all those touch points, right? So I believe that anywhere you are in organization, the first step is to figure out how you as a person or individual or in your current role or in your current job, you contribute to that overall customer experience and see if there is something from that point that you can do already. So like classical kind of ways how also we have been analyzing this is, let's say you are a product owner and you are busy with your backlogs, with your sprints, with your developers, and you're trying to manage all these stakeholders. And one of the critical questions you should ask in order, for example, to start think about customer experience is like, okay, what value, what outcome for my customer, this feature, product, whatever I'm working on brings? Mm-hmm. And that's something I feel is already the first step. So when you go into kind of outcome and value-driven understanding on your own job, you can start to see the gap. So what do you need to learn? What do you need to obtain? What skills you need to have in order to first of all, have the power to drive that value and outcome in your own job, and then take it from there. So when you start, okay, this part, we are responsible. But that is not everything, right? So that's not the whole experience that our customer has. So how far I want to expand? Where which touch points I'm also interested in? What additionally I would want to manage as part of that experience? And I think that's a good way, how to think like, okay, what's next for me? Because I think there's no like a final journey, you know, like, oh, I will learn CX and then I can do CX. And then, you know, I think there are so many ways how you can go about it. So the figuring out that starting point and figuring out that next step, that's like, that's the biggest thing, you know, like that's like, yeah. Then you are on the track, you know, and when you achieve the next step, then you take the next step, like basically the agile, very experimental way of approaching your own learning journey. And if you can apply those methods in reflecting on your own path, I think that's the best. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I love that.
Does that answer?
Yeah, of course. You mentioned self-reflection for yourself or for the company, the department, wherever you sit with who you sit. Self-reflection, very tough exercise, very critical. I love that you really stressed that out. And then, of course, finding solution for your own situation. I mean, now that you know exactly where you are, you can then decide what you need next, what are the exact thing that you need to learn next, and go in a very, experimental way. Love it as well, because I think it's really the way forward. If you don't want to start something too big that you don't understand after a few months, because, you know, you started something too big and the too big now, I think the world understood that, or I hope actually that the world understood that since the last crisis started, it's important to go step by step. So, it answered that very well. And so what are, now, even though I said that the first step was very demanding and not an easy one to self-reflect and see what we actually recognize what we actually need, what do you think are the biggest challenges in this journey, which is very personal to people and also to companies?
I think for a learning journey in general, to kick off learning, it's a very vulnerable position, right? So first you need to say to yourself or even to someone else that you don't know something, mm-hmm. or that you're lacking something. And it's a very, very vulnerable position. And no matter how confident you are and how, you know, comfortable you are in your own skin, it's still, you know, it's the same when you receive a feedback. You're grateful, but you still have like, you know, you still sit straight and you put your hands together, you know, like, so it's just that even if you appreciate it greatly, it's not natural for us to all the time be in that exposed learning kind of mindset. Mm-hmm. So I do believe that that's probably the biggest challenge, like from individual. If we look at industry in general, or in from learning organizations and in kind of you like what is how it looks like, we need to understand there are a couple of elements. So first of all, are you in a context where you are supported to learn? So do you have the right support system? Either it's your organization, either it's even your country, like how it's all organized around you. Secondly, when you think about learning or education in general, how big it is. And I think it's our really duty as educators to make it as attainable, as realistic as possible. You know, like when young people think about, oh, I need to now commit to the 3 to 5 year programs with unknown outcomes, with unknown ability to know if I will have a job or what kind of job I will be able to do, what skills I will have. I think it's crazy if you think that that's kind of required for mm-hmm. people to commit to that, right? And be able to make that choice.
True.
So to be very supportive and helpful in making programs, teachings, learnings accessible and attainable. So you can wrap your head around, okay, if I do this, then there will be certain, or not certain, but there will be an outcome that I will know what to do with. And that's, again, that sense of direction that you have. Okay, if I make this step, I potentially can do this. And that's very exciting for me. And it will not take me 5 years, because who knows what 5 years will bring. and what I will feel in 5 years. But it will take, if it will take me, let's say, 7 to 9 months, and then I can have already maybe a side job where I can train my skills, or I will already develop my project meanwhile while I'm learning, and I will have my portfolio then. Oh, well, then it's a different story, right? So then you're like, okay, I can wrap my head around it. So I think those are really big barriers why people have a challenge to kind of reflect and figure out, okay, what's next for me? Yeah.
Okay. Super interesting. That it is. I think you also highlight the process to learn for anything. I like that because I would like to talk CX, and we are talking CX, but I hear as well that these pieces of advice you're sharing are good for any learning. So I like really that. I'm sure at one point we will discover that CX, you know, it's not about customer. There is a C, it's super important, but at one point it's going to be replaced by H, human experience or something. We're going to get there. Because really, it makes a lot of sense. So thank you for sharing that. And so that's a big challenge for sure. And do you think that's because of that challenge that people fail to learn, or I would say to unlearn, or is there anything else that are, you know, that people are guilty in terms of, because it's a hard road actually. So what do you think about that?
So the obstacles for learning or also learning customer experience more particularly, they're quite a bit, right? So what is the key things that people say that they don't have time, they don't have money, they don't have things they need to have before they start learning? You know, there's a lot of excuses. And one on top that goes for CX specifically, I believe, is it's a new thing. I don't know if it will be needed. I don't know how to sell it to my manager, for example. I don't know how to go about it. Even if you are super interested in that, you might not, and nothing like that is happening in your business, you may be like, okay, well, I basically need to first and create a role for myself, right, in the business to start before I start learning. So there is that kind of uncertainty or newness element for CX, but obstacles for learning, you know, we all been there, right? So that's why, like, things like it's so interesting to see how, for example, a private proposition for learning is really different than, let's say, a public sector proposition, right? So because private sector really is focusing on that time, trying to figure out what is the learner's needs, applying customer experience principles in building learning experience, right? And that is a whole field, and learning design as a profession has been, you know, right, like it's become a thing, right? So you can actually become a learning designer, which means you are looking at learners' needs. You're basically a customer experience professional for learning organization or for the course creator, right? So you kind of design what experience or the learning styles a person has, and then deliver the content in the most effective way. So that's quite interesting, but I kind of got off the answering the question. But yeah, I think any like a traditional learning, obstacles or excuses that we make, plus that customer experience as a field, which is a bit new and uncertain sometimes.
Yeah, I understand. And how do you overcome these kind of challenges? You know, let's talk a little bit about solutions because I'm sure people say, yeah, I can recognize myself into excuses or see the barriers around them. Like, yeah, my company is not customer experience oriented, or I don't have the position. I'm kind of doing CX for a while, but nobody is labeling it as a CX, or, you know, there is no budget or whatsoever. There is tons of excuses. So how do you overcome that?
Yeah, it's a big one.
Don't worry, I'm not expecting you coming with the miracle. Otherwise, we keep that for us and we do something about it. Because we need to share that in a proper way than just in this podcast, if you have the absolute solution.
But, one thing I have discovered actually in this Christmas break, we need to give ourselves more credit for things. Mm. How did I discover this? So as probably every second or even more people before New Year's, they think about, okay, what do I want to do, next year? What do I want to improve? What is my resolutions? And as most people in COVID times, a lot of people didn't have enough exercise, etc., so including me. So I thought, okay, how can I exercise more? And I really wanted to have a plan, and the first thought is like the first like automatic thought is, okay, I need a personal trainer, or I need someone who looks at my, goal, who looks at my physique, who analyzes a bit my abilities and creates a plan for me. And I need a professional to do that. Mm-hmm. And then I was starting to read about it, etc. And I found this amazing article that really was saying, basically, you know yourself the best. You know ins and outs about yourself. Here are a couple of guidelines how you can build your plan yourself. And again, that experimental approach, testing what works for you, how intense, and how to build it up, and how to get to the desired outcomes that you want. And it really emphasized that you know yourself the best. Of course, if you would want to build those plans, fitness plans for other people, maybe you need to have knowledge, right? But if you think about your own environment and your own context and your own abilities, you know the best, actually. Of course, you can be surprised and you can be pushed out of your comfort zone and boundaries and all that, and then discover new stuff about yourself. That's not what I mean. But when you think like, how do I solve a challenge within my organization that customer experience has a more grounding or more budget for learning, that we have a bigger team? You know exactly what challenges organization has with the customer experience. So you mostly naturally know where your customers are struggling. You naturally know already if you are committed to the business, you know where business is losing revenue. You know which processes are not optimized. You already know you have so many data points that you can take one and start by tweaking one and by experimenting with it. You already can add that value and to your customer and also, of course, for your organization. And in that way, it can sound very vague, but it's just like figuring, like looking around yourself and picking one thing that you know that there is a pain and trying to address that. That already will make such a big change and can have like groundbreaking impact on organization. You never know. I don't know. That would probably be my first take, but it is quite individual and it is quite contextual.
Yeah, but I really agree with you. Just start with one thing. I mean, really, there is many things you can. We wake up every day with our job knowing that there is 1 million things that we have to do. There is stuff we never have time to do. Okay, that the feeling I think everybody can relate. But just take one and experiment around it. It's just a very good advice, very good one, because you have you force yourself to focus on something and to actually understand what is that something. Of course, when you touch some, you start to pull the thread, you might get some other stuff coming your way, and that's why you experiment. That's why you will need to experiment, because you don't know yet what's going to happen when you press the button or you pull the thread or whatever you do with that thing. And yeah. So no, that's a very good one. And regarding
any growth will have pain, so either when you pull that thread and then you at the end you find out this crazy monster, right, that you need to tackle.
Shh, you're going to scare them.
It can happen.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you might find a scissor and you can cut the thread and the monster suddenly goes away.
Yeah.
You know? And it can be as simple, or you can try to to nurture the monster and give them the right food and make sure that it becomes a big fluffy bear. That's one of the roots, but also it could be just cutting it off.
Yeah.
You know, so there are so many discoveries that you can make.
Yeah, and that's right. You have choices. The moment you start to experiment, you can have the responsibility to make choices, and you're not just following up a big thing you don't understand. Yeah, yeah. Good one. Very good one. And for those who are nowhere yet in CX or kind of starting it, what would be the one thing you recommend for them, the one action to take?
When you're just starting in CX or when you're considering learning?
No, I think learning, considering learning, because, or do you know when is there a real start? You make me think now. Is there a difference?
Well, it's a good one. Is there a difference? So probably if you're going into the new field, you will learn by doing. So if you need a formal learning, that's probably a bit different decision point. I think when you start thinking about customer experience as a profession, I think it's worth looking at what brings value for the customer. And it's a tough question. And I think it's very like a buzzy question. Mm-hmm. And a lot of, you know, you can hear that a lot and you can read that. And then it's almost like you read more and more about it. And then you kind of lose the sense of it, you know, like you lose the impact of the question. So it's a tough question because often the value is understood from business perspective that, for example, the customer can most easily shop. So that their shopping experience is super seamless and they get their delivery perfectly, you know, and everything is just fantastic. And it's considered as a perfect customer experience. But I want to also, and that is the value, you know, that you bring for the customer. So it's a seamless experience. They're happy, you know, et cetera, and they get their product and it's all great. However, I always, like, especially lately with kind of context of our planet and everything else, thinking like, is that product really bringing the value for that customer? And that's something a bit further, more kind of meta thinking about customer experience. But I saw today an example from Tony Chocolatoni. That's a Dutch chocolate brand. And they had a Christmas kind of banner saying, so there's the chocolate bar on it, and on top of it, it says, I'm bad for your health. consume with caution. Consume with caution. And I thought, that's value for the customer.
Yeah.
And I think before you go into customer experience, define what customer experience is for you and how you feel about it. And what excites you? What makes, you know, for you to get goosebumps about it, you know? Because then you can really figure out, okay, what aspect I want to take or what stand I want to take in the field and in the industry. So, yeah, so it's not straightforward, right? When we think about, okay, what is the value for the customer? If it completely only aligns with the business needs, it's not fully there yet, even though the experience in traditional way is delivered seamlessly.
Very interesting. Yeah, because it's actually now you need to consider the customer as a person, and your example is very clear about that. I think anybody can understand that the impact of that advertisement, and that illustrates pretty well your propos. So thank you very much. Thank you. I would like to know now your definition of success in customer experience. I know your example was already good. maybe I'm asking too much right now, but what is the success? Not really in customer experience, but when, you know, the success of somebody who's learning continuously customer experience. What does success look like for people who are learning CX? I made it. It was a tough sentence for me this time.
I was just thinking about it because in success is such a, you know, concept that everyone has their own definition for it. And like, imagine a situation where you ask 5 different people a question, what does 50,000 euros mean to you? And depending on so many aspects, the answer will be different, right?
Yeah.
So, and money is usually one of the metrics that is used in business for success. So that's why I made a point for 50,000 euros. So it's so just to kind of showcase a bit that
like
variability of understanding of success. However, I would probe any customer experience professional to again think about that value for customer. So to really have that definition, what is the value that you're bringing in this business for this specific human being, actually, right? So not only thinking of that's a customer, that's an account number of the customer, etc., but a human being. We were talking yesterday with CEO of Hi-Tech, South Africa. So Hi-Tech is a hiking and sports gear manufacturer. And they operate in various locations, but one of their main locations is also South Africa. And their distribution process of goods and how relationships are built with customers are very different than, for example, in, let's say, in the Netherlands or in UK. Or so then for them, it's critical to empower sales agents to have ability to make decisions outside of protocol. So we hear a lot of Zappos, right? References that how amazing their customer service is. But it is mainly because customer service representatives have that power to, you know, stay on a calls longer, make decisions, send, have certain budget to send gifts or fun things to your customers to make that experience delightful. And not always you need to be delightful, but it is just understanding what is needed for that person. And if someone is like super upset with the small product that they ordered and it actually will not, you know, make any big impact on your revenues, that you have that power to say, okay, you know what? It doesn't matter that you can't return it. You know, you will get your refund. And I don't know, like just as an example. Because that value that you will bring for that customer is not only about the refund and the customer experience from the brand perspective, but it's also that you hear what that person in that moment really needs and listen to that person. So I think probably that will be my naive suggestion that we can think beyond beyond customer and go into kind of more human approach.
Yeah, I am naive too then. because that's where I am to go as well. And I wish I'm not alone to go there. I know you are, but I'm sure we are more than just the two of us. being a compassionate person with ourselves, but with the people around us, colleagues, people that we serve as clients sounds maybe cheesy, but sounds also for me something that is very necessary.
And successful.
Yeah.
I do believe that that is then the ultimate measure of that success, right? So if you manage to either figure it out and actually deliver on that promise, I think, that's the ultimate success for this.
I love that. Love that. Thank you for sharing that, really. I have one last question for you, more personal. I would like to know, you know, what did you wish you knew before you started your learning journey about CX?
Yeah, it's an interesting one. Before I actually joined or established Made4 and started to work with my business partner, I was quite ignorant about this whole industry that is happening around me. I did work in the product, of course, right? So for a while, and and various other aspects of, you know, customer facing experiences. But I actually never came across the proper concepts of it and depth of it and breadth of it. So what I would, wish I would know more in general in my career would be that how important customer experience is in all those previous roles I already had, you know, and just to kind of understand the importance of it. I remember when I just started to think about, like, started to work in this and started to be interested and curious about it. When I was talking to people and said customer experience, I felt almost like a bit uncomfortable because it felt like, because I always had a question. Okay, do you talk about customer service? Do you talk about, you know, customer satisfaction? Do you talk about NPS? So there are those key things that people ask, then you are immediately associated with customer experience. And then that educational piece that you have to do to other people as well. Well, this is so much more. It's so much more interesting and complex and exciting than the first impression is about it. So, yeah, I think just be curious, that curiosity and openness to that field. I think, yeah, that for me, I wish I would realize when I stepped into it. But it's a complex world. It's a big world. And it can be also intimidating and overwhelming because of that.
Yeah, that's true. But there is people like you who are building you know, the tools for others to find the right way, the right journey to learn to it. So it's okay. We're going in the right direction.
Well, hopefully. And I do believe that learning needs to become more customer-centric or human-centric in general. Consider everyone's learning preferences and rhythms and really try to celebrate that diversity as well. So there's lots of work to be done as well in the kind of education and learning in general, and specifically as well, of course, customer experience as well. So it's exciting times and exciting fields. So yeah, very cool.
Yeah, I'm also excited about that. I'm also really, really excited about that. Okay, cool. Thank you very much, Agnes, for your time, for all what you shared, your expertise and your advice. It's really welcome. I'm very happy that I had that conversation with you today and can't wait to share it with people out there.
Likewise, Emily. And then thank you so much for having me. And yeah, if anyone has any questions, of course, I want to have a coffee with me or with both of us, maybe. I don't know how you see that.
But,
you can always find me on LinkedIn. So don't hesitate to reach out.
I'll put the link in the description for sure.
Okay, cool.
Thank you, Agnes.
Well, thank you so much.